Well, greetings and happy Sabbath to all. Gene and I have some relatives visiting from Phoenix, Arizona. As you know, the temperature's been as high as 119 there, and they're in Orange County this weekend enjoying our beaches and our cool weather. If you do not have the 3-page handout for this message, please raise your hand so the ushers can give you one. We have lots of information to cover today, and I will be moving quickly. Therefore, I am making the message notes available to anyone who wants them. I will inform you on how to get the message notes at the end of this message. The fundamental message of the book of Revelation is very clear. It promises that our Father will institute universal peace, prosperity, and cooperation over all the earth immediately after the return of Jesus Christ. It reveals how this wonderful new world will be established and why it will never be destroyed or replaced by another way of life or social order. Almost all of the information in this message today was taken from the UCG booklet titled The Book of Revelation Unveiled. In the first part of today's message, we're going to quickly review the timeline of some of the events in the last days. The purpose of doing so is to keep the sequence of events fresh in our mind so that Satan, who is the great counterfeiter, cannot fool or trick us into doing something our Father and our Lord Jesus do not want us to do. Brethren, the title of this message is The Lessons from the Sealing and Sheltering of God's Converted Servants. The first primary purpose of this message is to begin listing all of the end time events in chronological order so that Satan cannot fool or trick us. The second primary purpose is to give encouragement and comfort to the converted servants of God who are ready, and a gentle warning to those who might not be ready. The information shown on this slide is identical to your handout number one. It shows the story flow outline of the book of Revelation on page 6 in the booklet Revelation Unveiled. It includes the seven seals and the seven trumpets. This story flow is only a partial outline and does not include many of the events talked about in the booklet. For example, when you read seal number 7, it does not show all of the events talked about in the booklet. When you look at trumpet number 7, you will see it only shows the 7 last plagues, and in the booklet, more events are talked about. Now let's take a look at an updated outline after we add some of the events talked about in this booklet. Now this information shown on this slide is identical to your handout number 2. The changes and events added are highlighted in yellow. The first change is done to seal number 5. In seal number 5, the word great was added at the beginning of the sentence, changing it from tribulation and persecution to great tribulation and persecution. The reason for the change is because of what it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 21. Now, for the record, the letter G in the word great is lowercase. Okay, now the second change was added to the sealing of the 144,000 and the sheltering of the great multitude between seal number 6 and seal number 7. That'd be right here. Okay? The second change was added and I will explain in greater detail why we were inspired to place these two events between seal 6 and 7 in the second section of this message. The third change was made to seal number 7 to more clearly identify the events during the seventh seal. The seventh seal now reads, silence in heaven, Revelation 8:1, then starts the day of the Lord and God's punishment on the evil world. That is seal number 7. In the booklet, Revelation Unveiled, on page 39, it reads, the opening of the seventh seal is accompanied by silence in heaven for about half an hour. All creation is awed by what is about to happen. The day of the Lord, the event angels and saints have anticipated for thousands of years, has finally arrived. The seven trumpets provide a summary of what will happen during the time known as the day of the Lord. They announce the main phases of God's judgment on this evil world and on the devil who deserve it. Brethren, according to the booklet, the day of the Lord are these seven trumpets right here. So whenever I refer to the day of the Lord in this message, we are talking about these seven trumpets right here. Okay? The fourth change was adding God's two witnesses between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Okay? In the booklet, Revelation Unveiled, on page 44, and you notice I have the footnote right here. See, you can see it if you want to look it up. Right? Okay. In the booklet, Revelation Unveiled, on page 44, it reads, the work of the two witnesses is presented between the sixth and seventh trumpet and before the return of Christ. The fifth change is made to the seventh trumpet. The events added is the return of Christ. The dead will be raised incorruptible. And the third woe begins with the seven last plagues. These events have been added to the seventh trumpet because they are talked about in the booklet on pages 46 and 47. Now, the event I did not add is meeting Jesus in the cloud. And the reason I did not add this event is because I could not find it mentioned in the booklet when they talked about the events of the seventh trumpet. Please remember The only events we added to the original story flow outline were those we found talked about in the booklet and pertaining to this message. Brethren, the outline is only a starting point for Jean and me. We plan on adding more events to the outline as Mr. Sagley goes through the book of Revelation during his PowerPoint Bible studies. Brethren, we know Satan is the great counterfeiter. And if Jean and I are alive during these end time events, we want to have a clear understanding of their sequence so that Satan does not fool or trick us. Brethren, this concludes the first part of this message. Now let's begin the second part of the message by asking ourselves a question. The question is, who are the converted servants of God, and when are they sealed or sheltered? The Bible teaches that God seals or shelters three groups of people before the sound of the first trumpet. In the second part of this message, we will review who are these three groups of converted servants of God, when they are sealed or sheltered, and the lesson for us today. Now let's look at the first group of converted servants of God. The people in our first group who are sealed are the 144,000 with the seal of God on their forehead. The sealing of this first group is recorded in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, and in the booklet Revelation Unveiled on pages 36 and 37. For the sake of time, I will display the scriptures on the screen. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Brethren, from these scriptures, we are reminded that the sealing of the first group happens to the 144,000 people who are alive. Now let's see where this fits on the storyline. When you look at the update storyline, this is handout 2, you will see that this event happens just before the opening of the seventh seal and just prior to the four angels devastating the earth during the first four trumpets. So this is here, the first four trumpets is when the angels start devastating the earth, and the sealing is before that, so we put it between 6 and 7 before the silence in heaven. We know this because of what it said in Revelation 7:3. It says, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. In addition, on page 36 in the booklet, it says, "The sealing of those who are chosen by God is now complete. And now the massive devastation of the coming trumpet plagues that God will inflict on mankind during the day of the Lord will not harm them." Again, the day of the Lord is here. So this 144,000 were sealed prior to the first trumpet and prior to the silence in heaven. Now let's look at the four lessons for us today from the sealing of the 144,000. Brethren, the first lesson is this. These people are alive when they are sealed. Lesson two. Some or all of these people will live through the first six seals. They will experience religious deception, war, famine, disease, and epidemics, a great lowercase g, tribulation and persecution, and heavenly signs. And the third lesson is, despite living through these difficult times, the people in this group are the ones who follow the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And the fourth lesson is this. We do not really know if the meaning of the words God's seal on their forehead is figurative language or literal language. We do know God's Holy Spirit is the seal God uses to identify his own. That's quoted in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Despite this, we cannot be dogmatic in our thinking until that event actually happens. I'm sure Mr. Segley will be covering the words God's seal on their forehead in depth during his PowerPoint Bible study about the book of Revelation. Now, brethren, let's look at the second group. The second group of people who will be sheltered is a great multitude spoken about in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, and verses 13 through 14, and in the booklet Revelation Unveiled on pages 37 and 38. For the sake of time, I will display the verses from chapter 7 on the screen. Chapter 7, verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lord." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, lowercase g, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now let's see what UCG says about the great multitude in their booklet. According to the UCG booklet, Revelation Unveiled, page 38, you can look this up later, It says, some interpret the receiving of white robes by the multitude as an indication they may have been martyred by the beginning of the day of the Lord. See, before the beginning of the day of the Lord. So that's before trumpets 1. Another view is that the multitude will survive the great tribulation and persecution period and will continue to live and be sheltered by God during the day of the Lord. What is clear in Revelation 7 is that a great harvest of true and faithful Christians will occur during the first years of the great tribulation, that's lowercase g, and they will be sheltered. Now let's see where the great multitude might be sheltered on the story flow. See, when you look at handout 2, you will see that this event is placed right after the sealing of 144,000, right? So we have 144,000 here, and then we have the sheltering of the great multitude right after that. And that's prior to the silence in heaven and the devastation to the earth. And that's what they're being sealed and sheltered from. There are two reasons for this, why we placed it in that position. The first reason is because the Apostle John saw and recorded the sheltering of the great multitude right after the sealing of the 144,000, Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 10. And the second reason is because in the booklet on page 38, it says, these people will continue to live and be sheltered by God during the day of the Lord. So that means they had to be sheltered prior to the day of the Lord. Now let's look at the lessons for us today. The first lesson is this. These people are alive when they're sheltered. Lesson 2 is these people are newly converted servants of God as a result of the great tribulation and persecution during seal number 5 and maybe during seal number 6. The third lesson is the 144,000 converted servants of God who are alive at this time will see a great multitude of people be converted and will most likely, the great multitude, they will most likely want to be baptized and taught the correct way of the Lord. Brethren, I could be wrong, but it appears to me that the great multitude will be baptized and taught by the 144,000 who are sealed just prior to the great multitude. Now let's look at the third group of converted servants of God. The people in the third group are the converted servants of God who have lived and died since the beginning of creation until just before the sealing of 144,000 who are alive. Now let's see where this fits. People who die before seal number 1, they're sealed. But there will be people who will live through seal number 1 through seal number 6. And they might die or they might be alive when the sealing of the 144,000 happens. Most of the converted servants of God will die before the opening of the first seal. However, some may live and die during the opening of the first 6 seals. They may all be dead before the ceiling of the 144,000, or some might be included in the ceiling of the 144,000. The converted servants of God in group three have and will be sealed after death to be raised from the dead at the sound of the seventh trumpet. Once you die, there's nothing you can do to improve your status. Brother, now let's look at who are the converted servants of God in group three. The converted servants of God in group three are the people who have been faithful, Matthew 25, 21. They have been obedient to all of the Father's commands taught to us by our Lord Jesus, John chapter 14, verse 15. They have followed Jesus, Matthew 16, verse 24. They have done all the same works Jesus did, John 14, verse 12. They have an attitude of becoming perfect, like our Father, Matthew 5, verse 48. They have endured until the end, Matthew 24, verse 13. And they have finished the race, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Now, brethren, let's look at the lessons from the converted servants of God in group 3. Some of the people called into this group are Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Ruth, the apostles, and Herbert Armstrong. These people were not perfect. However, they were given a work to do by God, and they were dedicated to being proactive in doing that work. Brethren, the first lesson for us today from our group three is we also need to be dedicated and proactive in doing the work our Father and our Lord Jesus give each of us to do. The second lesson is this. We need to be faithful and obedient to our Father's commands. We need to follow Jesus and do the same works he did. We need an attitude of always trying to become perfect like our Father. And we need to endure until the end and finish the race. And the third lesson is, we always need to be ready, because no one in this group knows the time or the day when they will die. They always need to be ready. Brethren, God's converted servants who are living today have a free will and control of their destiny. They can choose life or choose death. The converted servants of God in group three have been and will be sealed at their death to be raised incorruptible at the sound of the seventh trumpet. Now, brethren, this concludes section two of this message. Let's move to the section three, where we will address a place of safety during the end of the age. Is there a place of safety? And where is the place of safety? These are two questions Christians talk about a lot, because they want to know what will happen to God's people during the events at the end of the age. One popular belief today is that believers will be raptured to heaven for several years. The second popular belief is that the woman or church will be given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. Brethren, let's quickly review what the United Church of God teaches about a place of safety for the church during the end of the age. The answer can be found in a letter from the United Church of God Personal Correspondence Department, which is handout three. The letter from the UCG Personal Correspondence Department is sent to those people writing in wanting to know about a place of safety. For the people watching over the internet, I will display the first paragraph of the letter on the screen. Paragraph one reads, "The most specific reference to the protection that God promises from his people at the end of the age is in Revelation chapter 12. Now, UCG puts in brackets, "Our booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, addresses divine protection for the church in the section that deals with this chapter." And then they say, "If you do not have a copy of this publication, we would be happy to send you one." For the record, the pages addressing divine protection for God's people in the booklet starts on page 48. So let's continue reading from the letter. Then they say, Revelation 12:14 says, "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the servant." Now let's read paragraph 2 of the letter. "However," they say, "we find a further prophecy in the same context that tells us at least part of the church will suffer persecution at the same time that God protects others." And they quote from the Bible, "And the dragon was engaged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offsprings, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." That's verse 17 of chapter 12. "Most likely, the end result of this persecution will be martyrdom." Now let's look at paragraph 3, the last paragraph on the letter, and this is really the lesson of this letter. In paragraph 3, we find the lesson for us today regarding a place of safety. The Bible records many ways by which God protected his people in the past, but does not reveal specifically how, where, when, or even all of the who he will protect in the end. However, we have confidence that he will reveal what we need to know at the essential time. In the meantime, there can be no doubt our focus must be on the spiritual preparation for Christ's return and the establishment of our Father's kingdom. That's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 through 51. Brethren, let's conclude with this thought. Handout 2 includes all of the events Gene and I were inspired to add for this message today. As you know, brethren, there are many more events to be added. Our target, that's Gene and I, is to record the other end time events Mr. Sagley will talk about during his PowerPoint Bible study about the book of Revelation. The purpose of listing the end time events in chronological order is so Satan and his counterfeit end time events cannot trick Gene or me into doing something our Father and our Lord Jesus does not want us to do. Gene and I thought this would be a good time to do this project because we can ask Mr. Sagley all of our questions during his PowerPoint Bible study on the book of Revelation. Brethren, if you would like a copy of today's message notes or a Word document of handout 2, so that you can update it and keep it current during Mr. Sagley's Bible studies, please email me at lincoln.marini@gmail.com. Brethren, let's do the right thing. Let's prepare a list of God's end-time events and share them with our children and grandchildren so that Satan does not fool or trick us or them with his counterfeit end-time events. And brethren, let's always be ready.